We said we're the Klein family, missionary to the Mapuche people of Argentina. And I'll have to introduce my family in the main service. So I just wanted to do a Sunday school lesson with you today. Now, in Argentina, we speak Spanish, and yes, my children have got pretty fluent in the language. I can't say that I have, but my kids have. They've done very well. If you've ever had to learn another language other than what you grew up with, you realize it's not so easy. But the Lord blesses, the Lord will take care, and he's used my children to help me. First today, we're going to talk about a threefold cord. And let's look at Ecclesiastes 4, 12. Ecclesiastes 4, 12. And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for the beautiful day you've given us. We thank you for how kind and merciful you are. I just ask that you might fill me with your spirit. Help me to speak the words that will work in the hearts of the people. Lord, please look upon us and bless us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to talk about the threefold cord, and basically because I have three little churches there in my vicinity. Well, actually not too much in my vicinity, but one's a Mapuche home, and it's a Mapuche people. I don't like to stand behind the mic, so I guess I'll have to raise my voice a little bit. But it's the Mapuche people that we've gone to, and finally the Lord put us in a Mapuche home, and I wanted to teach them.
Would you hold the microphone, please, so we can get you recorded?
You don't have to do the people, that's how the guy says. But if you want to, you can.
I want to do what the people say. Okay, I'll try to hold my mic. This is new to me. I'm used to having something pinned right here, but that's all right. But I want to be friends with him, and I want him to be nice to me when we're done here because he looks kind of big. But we got the Mapuche people, and we're clear out. It's about an hour out from our home. But this family, I want to teach them the Bible. I want to give them something to help them live for God. I want to strengthen them and see them grow in the faith. And so these are one of the messages that I have taught them to help them get strong in the Lord. And so it's a threefold cord. And so the first of that cord is the Bible. You've got to have the Bible in your life. You need the Word of God, and I want those people to know that. I can get up and I can entertain, I can give many things for the people to do, I can help them in those different ways, but if they're going to walk with God, if you're going to walk with God, apart from anything else, that first cord, you've got to have the Bible in your life. And I want those people to know God's Word is the strength to be successful in the Christian life, to glorify God. You have to practice time in your Bible, learning your Bible, reading your Bible. You need to weave them daily, like building a rope. If you look at a rope, and I have a rope here. Now, this isn't the best one for an illustration, but it's all I had in the back of my truck. But if you look at a rope, it is many different cords. It's many different pieces as you look inside of there. And that's what God wants in our life. There's different things that need to weave in our life to make us strong in the faith, to make us go forward for God. And that first one, like I said, is the Bible, the Word of God. It's got to be in your life. It's got to be something you desire. You need it daily. When you go through the world with all the battles and all the temptations and all the different things, and it's not like once you get saved that everything gets easy. So many people get this idea that if you get saved, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, all of a sudden, it's just going to be easy. You can't find that in the Bible. It's a battle. It's a daily battle that you have to go and take on. Now, you need Spirit of God. You need God working in your life, because without that, we can do nothing. But we need that Bible to help us, because this body of flesh desires the things of the world. It wants those things that we see out there. We see carnal things, and for some reason, this flesh is drawn to them. So we need something to combat that. We need something to help us with that. And we can't survive. We cannot survive without the Word of God. And it makes a difference when we're in His Word. Now, this is my missionary part. We've heard many times they've talked about the church holding the rope. And we have the missionary. So I'm going to have two people help me today. And I love my children to help me. So I'm going to ask Lauren and Bill to come up here. Now, I usually ask my boys, so my girl just about fell out of her seat. But if you come up here. And Bill, you come on up here. Stand up here. Lauren, you're down there. So, Bill, turn around here just a little bit. Everybody can see you. So, we got Bill. He's going to represent the church. He's strong. He's mighty. He is going to represent the church, because the church is the strong, the fortress here that we have. And then my young lady is going to represent the missionary. So, if we have him, now act like you're going to hold her and support her. I would think I'd get two hands in there. And so you're going to hold each other and you're going to take care of each other, but how is that going to work out over time? How is that going to work out when things start getting rough? You can stay there, but bring your hands down. So we need to walk with the Lord. We need to walk with God. We need to use Him and let Him be that strength. Now, if you know much about pulleys and winches, there's one way you can really double or triple the strength in a winch or a rope or a pulley system. So they put a pulley in it. Now, this is all I got. I didn't bring in the big ones that the ships have. I didn't bring the big dock work ones. But if you've been on the dock, you've seen some of them pulleys that are humongous, and they'll have multiple cables going around. This is going to represent that. Not much, but pretty good for, where did I get that? Home Depot. So we're going to fit this little guy right in here. Okay. Move over, little buddy. We got the church. Now, does he have a little more leverage now? We got the missionary. She's got to be tied on. You know them missionaries. So, if the church is in the Bible, and he's praying, and they love God, and they're putting Him first, and they're living for Him, and they're spending time with Him, he's going to have a good, firm grip on that rope. And if the missionary loves God, and is living for Him, in the Bible, in prayer, in meditation, they're going to have a firm grip upon the rope. And if these two are communing with the Father, and the Father has the pulley system, we're going to have a strong system. We're going to have a system that God can use, because we have the Father here. He's holding the pulley. He is the strength. And the cord now is going up to the Father, and the cord from the church is going up to the Father, and we have strength between the church and the missionary. Thank you. And so we need to realize that it's so important that we have that threefold cord, but it's drawn to the Father. So I have some churches that support me that I hardly ever talked to. I haven't talked to him. I called one pastor and he goes, I support you? I go, yes, you've supported me for years. He goes, oh, wow. I said, I want to know if I have, can I come by? He goes, do you have to come by? I go, wow. I go, no, I don't have to come by. It costs me money. It takes time. He goes, okay, do you have to come over for, you know, lunch? And I go, no, that's all right. You say, how can that guy help me? It's very simple. If he's living for God, and he is serious about the things of God, and he knows his Bible, and he's praying, and he worships, and he spends time before the Father, and I, the missionary, live for God, love the Bible, for the Lord, there still is, he is holding the rope, because they're praying for me. Someone's praying for me in that church, evidently not him. They're supporting me, so they're helping me with my financial needs, which is a blessing. He's probably living for God. I'm desires for God. And then we have strength and we have secure missionaries that are being taken care of. So that's very important that we understand that we need to live for God. We need to put God first in our lives. Now, like I said, the first important part of that cord is the Bible. And what a special book. We don't understand. Did you know this is the only book that God endorses or approves of? Amen. He endorses it. This is the only book that the author is perfect. You ever think about that? The author's perfect. This is the only book that is not from this world. It's not from this world. You read it. It has an eternal author. It's the only author that's eternal. You read any other book, and there was a beginning of that guy, and there will be an end of that guy if it's not already happened. The guy who wrote this, the Lord, is eternal. This author has seen the beginning and the end. Think about that. The author of the Bible, God, has seen the beginning, was in the beginning, has seen the end, is in the end, and knows what's best for us. He knows what we need. He is all compassion. By compassion of knowing the beginning and the end, he has given what he wants us to live by. He knows what's best for us. He's seen all time. What a compassionate God. He gives us the word to help us, to strengthen us, to guide us, to walk with us. And we need that part of the cord. Let's look at Daniel 10:22. Daniel 10, Daniel 10, 22. And it says, but I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. Keep your eye on that, the scripture of the truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael your prince. So here's Daniel. He's being talked to. And the angel there is telling him the scripture of truth. We can trust this book. It's not just man that's telling you that it's truth. It's not just man telling you that this is a perfect Bible. Here we have a supernatural being here in 10:21 telling us the scripture of truth. Daniel believed him. So we need to take it as the truth that he has given us. And we can learn so much from Daniel in that. And this refers as the Bible. He refers to it as the Bible, the truth. He doesn't refer to it as partial truth. He doesn't refer to it as a little bit of truth. He's not referring to it as just some truth. So when we open up the Word of God, when we open up our King James Bible, we know that we have the truth before us. We need to have that. We need to understand that. Let's look at 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, "All Scripture," that's your Bible you're holding in your hands today, "all Scripture is given by inspiration of God." God has inspired this truth for us, "and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." You see everything that's in there? You could spend some time studying that. You could spend some time in that just right there. I want to read it again. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine," for teaching, "for reproof," chew us out, "for correction," correct us. Fathers, you know what it is to correct your children. "For instruction in righteousness." And it goes on in 17, "that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." We need that cord. We need that Bible in our lives. We need to be daily in fellowship with the Father. We see so many people today going their own way. We see so many people today living their own life, and they don't spend time in this book. Now, my boys work a lot around in town. One of the men asked, "Are your kids fluent in the language?" I says, "Yeah, my kids mow lawns, my two oldest boys." And so they'll spend time out working with the people. They mow their lawns and clean up different things. And Matt was witnessing to one of the men, and the elder men, probably in his 70s, goes, "Oh, be careful with that Bible. It'll make you go crazy." No, it won't. What he doesn't realize is that he is crazy. He needs the mind of Christ. He needs God's thinking in his head. So many of these people around us think the Bible has no value. But you look at their lives and they're empty and they're shallow and they're looking for something real. If you want something real, get in the Bible. Get in the truth. Spend time in the presence of God. And then my second point is prayer. For that cord, first, Bible. Now remember, I'm teaching basics down there. I've taught Daniel in the lion's den to the family, and they never heard it in their life. So I'm keeping it basic, and so I'm trying to get it basic for you today. First, have that Bible in your life. Let it wash you in the water of the Word. Spend time in it. And don't just stop with reading it. Memorize it. We've been working, and it's been hard since we back 10 verses a month minimum. Have those verses going through your mind when you go to bed. Men, quit thinking about the cars. Quit thinking about the work. Quit thinking about the girls. Quit thinking about the football. When you go to bed, say, "No, I'm turning that stuff off, and I'm letting God have a little bit of my time." And when you wake up in the morning, you're going to want to open up that Bible. So meditate on that word. Memorize it. Meditate on it. These are basic principles that we've got so in a hurry that we're not doing them anymore, and we're having problems, and we're wondering why. So remember, that basic thing which I'm trying to teach those people, get in that Bible. And then prayer. Now remember, prayer is it just means talking to God. When you get it down as simple, you boil that thing down, talking to God. Spending time with God, getting in the presence of God. And we need that communion. Daniel took comfort in prayer. If you read about Daniel, the time that man spent in prayer, and he was known for prayer. And remember all the princes and the presidents? What did they know about Daniel? I mean, they were watching him. If we were to go back and read the text, which you probably know Daniel, the princes, they wanted to get rid of him. They wanted him gone. And so they were looking for something in his life. They were looking for, it really doesn't say, but it could have been anything to do. I mean, it could have been taxes. It could have been, you know, taking bribes. It could have been doing something against the king. It could have been a multiple things. And they're looking and they couldn't find nothing. Now, if they looked in your life, what would they find? If there were some men that wanted you gone, what would they find? Would they find a man sold out to God, spending time in prayer in his Bible? So here we got Daniel. They're trying to mess with him. And all they can find in his life is that he communes with God. All they can find in his life is that he loves God and prays to him daily. All they can find in his life that he's upright. God is the most important thing in his life. And they get to thinking, I got it. We'll get something against him and his God to where he can't pray. He can't fellowship with the Father. Would that hurt you? Would that hurt you if you couldn't fellowship with the Father for a couple weeks? You think if you went a week without prayer that you would notice one way or the other? Daniel realized he would see the difference. Daniel realized that there would be something in his life that would be missing. Daniel realized there would be something severed if he could not pray. So the second thing I want to teach those people is you've got to learn to pray. You've got to desire to be in the presence of the Father. And so they make this rule that cannot pray. And what did Daniel do? Did he say, oh, I could probably go without it for that amount of time? Did he say that? No. He says, no, I can't go without it. I don't care what it costs me. And what did he do? He got down on his knees and he prayed. Could you stand up to that? Could you know that your life would be coming to an end if you communed with God? Would you really be able to say, nope, it makes me wonder. It makes me wonder about myself. So we need to have that prayer in our life. We need to be seeking God with our whole heart. And let's go to Daniel 9:20. Daniel 9:20. Let's look at what Daniel did. Let's see if it matches up with our prayer life. Daniel 9:20. And while I was speaking, So when he was in prayer, he was speaking. Your kids ever hear you pray? Your spouse ever hear you pray? Daniel was speaking and praying and confessing his sin. Right here it says, and confessing my sin and the sins of my people Israel. Now, notice one thing here. He confessed his sins first. Now, I know Baptists, they're quick for confessing everybody else's sin. They're quick for being pointing on, oh, I know what he's doing, I know what she's doing, I know he's a hypocrite. Lord, please help him. It's not what Daniel did. Daniel got in the presence of God, speaking openly, confessing his sin. So a good place to start when you get in prayer is get on your knees, get the vocal cords working, long as you're not bothering somebody, and confess. Confess your sins. And then confess for others. Confess my sins and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord. Supplication. He humbly asked. He humbly got before God. He wanted to be in his presence. He showed that he was nothing and that God is everything. He requested things in a humble way that he knew God wanted. It wasn't about, I need this and I need that. Remember, I said it's going to be basic, because this is the things that we deal with in Argentina. It's the thing we deal with the different people, is they're so used to, for me, for me, for me. That's not what prayer's about. So prayer's about confessing. Prayer's about getting in the presence of the Father. Presence about the prayer is about letting him know how much you need him. It's not about me, me, me. And we see what Daniel is doing here. He is praying. He is communing with God. He is speaking in the words to his Lord. Yes, Daniel's talking, and yes, he's on his knees. He knows who he is coming to. He knows he's in the presence of the Almighty God. He's realizing his need, and he's confessing and presenting and just desiring, simply talking to the Lord. And once again, that's a second part of our cord. If you know about ropes, it takes many different cords, and today I'm talking about three. So the first one was Bible. Read the Bible, learn the Bible, meditate on the Bible. If you're going to be successful for God, you're going to need those. Second, prayer. Learn how to pray. Get into the presence of the Father. Speak to him. Confessing, fellowshipping, showing your need. And then the third, worship. Give him glory, all ye people. Psalms 29:1. Let's look at Psalms 29:1. Psalms 29. Psalms 29:1. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. When's the last time you worshiped? When's the last time that you spent time letting God know that he is the Almighty? That you are in love with him, that he is worthy of everything that you have. I think that's got lost today. Now, I'm not talking about the worship of, I'm not talking about the worship that we get up and scream and holler like some groups do. I'm talking about love, adoration, respect. I'm talking about worship that shows the other people that there's something different about you. Let's look at John 4:23. Remember, we're talking about worship. That's our third cord to this rope. 4:23 and 24. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they must worship him in God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So if what you're doing is not truth, you're not worshiping. That's why you need to know the Bible. You need to realize that there are certain things that might make you feel good. There are certain things that you might do that are outward that look like worship. But if they're not truth and they're not in the Bible, you're not worshiping. So we need to find out from the Word of God, and we need to know what worship is. And to do that. Now, I have a friend of mine. His name's Hector, down in Argentina. He's an Argentine man. And it was pretty interesting. I let him borrow my vehicle while I was up here. Now, we have a 2001 Musso. It's actually it looks like a four-wheel drive station wagon. It's a little bit higher. The thing cost me almost $14,000. I can buy it in the States for about $3,500. It's crazy. But I let him borrow that vehicle, so we took it over to the mechanic, and there were some things that I needed to get fixed on it. And so while we were at the mechanic's place, and we're in a bigger town, over about 250,000 people, but I'm at the mechanic's place, the mechanic finds out that I'm going to let Hector borrow the vehicle. And oh, he starts talking about this man. And he wasn't talking about how terrible he was. He wasn't talking about how he ripped him off. He wasn't talking about how he looked down on people and how he's a hypocrite. He was talking about this man like he was perfect. I mean, he just said, this guy is great. You should see his family. He's so humble. He's so kind. You can trust him with your vehicle. You can trust this man. I thought, wow, you know, I met Hector, and he's a great guy, and he's always made an influence on me of his kindness and his humility. And I got to thinking, I go, God, he hears this, and he hears this mechanic talking about this man, and he is saying how great and how good of a man he is, and how godly Christian he is, and how he's humble, and how you can trust him with that. And I thought, wow, if God's pleased with that, which I would think he would, if God's pleased us with his reputation, could that not be a form of worship? Could that not be a way that a man can worship? Now Hector, he was probably across town. Now, Hector's known for working. Everybody in that town knows Hector works. He works hard. He doesn't go to work to take advantage of his boss. When he's working, he's sweating. And so Hector, he might be at work, and he might be buffing the floor. He might be cleaning a toilet. He might be cleaning whatever. He might be doing the yard. And he might not be thinking anything of God at that time. He's just working. But there's another guy around across town talking about what a godly man he is and what a good Christian he is and how he lives for the Lord. So Hector's sitting there working, whatever he's doing, not thinking about God. Is he not worshiping? Because across town, this man thinks he is just a man of God. But then you take Hector, and he's working, and he's praising God. He's thanking God for his job. He's thanking God for his family. He's thanking God for his pastor. He's thanking God for his church. He's ready. He's thinking about how he can talk to the other people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that worship? Yeah. Just praising Him everything you do. Now get this. He's praising God and he's working. He's got another man over here that's telling that he has a good testimony. He's living for God. He's getting two in at once. Amen. So we need to learn how to worship. We need to worship with our all. So we've got that threefold cord. And like I said, that's what I try to teach the people there, something simple. And so we have our cord. And as you remember, we have the church on this end. And we got the, well, backwards, missionary on this end, the church on this end. And if the church is in their Bible, love their Bible, love their God, praying, in communion, and then worshiping. And the missionary, in his Bible, memorizing, seeking God's face, praying, and worshiping. We have strength. We have God, the center, He's holding it. And we have a threefold cord. Isn't that what it says in Ecclesiastes? With a threefold cord, but not easily broken. And so, yes, we're missionaries to the Mapuche people of Argentina, and we need your prayers. But we need those three things. We need you strong in the Word. We need you in your prayer closet, seeking His face. And we need you worshiping. Worship. And show Him that you love Him. So please pray for us.